Today's message, I've been preparing, I guess, for the past week and been thinking about it because we're in the midst of a terrible flu season, a really bad flu season. A lot of people have gotten sick. I had gotten sick from it, and I know Charles is still sick, and quite a lot of illness is going around. My dad had been sick. My brother in Alabama has the flu this past week. Heard, you know, a lot of illnesses, and again, people have contacted me on Facebook. They do quite a bit, and they've asked me for prayers for various family members, and there's a lot going around. So I thought about today's message. The only thing I could think about was illness. I said, well, what can I talk about except maybe overcoming illness? I've done a lot of messages about overcoming things, and I think illness is probably something we all want to overcome. Because it affects us, affects our families. You know, we've lost several folks recently from illness. And I found out, and this is, you know, I did not plan to do this sermon because of that, but my mother is in ICU now. She went into the hospital Thursday, and her liver has 3 golf ball size cysts on her liver. And again, I asked for prayers for everyone watching to pray for that. And again, you know, there's definitely illness can affect us in those ways of family members or you know, our friends and ourselves. So I'm gonna talk about overcoming illness. And again, when I guess talk about overcoming illness, the first thing is that this sermon is not going to be a sermon about answered prayer. Not gonna be a sermon about answered prayer, because I've done that before. Talked about answered prayer, because God does answer prayers. And God will heal us. 100% believe it, 100% know it, because it's happened to me, happened to many people I've seen. So the day sermon is not going to be about healing. And again, there are faith healers, and I see faith healers, and I see people who can throw healing, or they touch people and they fall back healing. You've seen kind of the circus act that people do that are healing. Again, I don't, you know, that's not what we're here about today, is that. And today's message about overcoming illness is not going to be about God's health laws. Not going to be about the health laws, because they are important. Dietary laws, there's quarantine laws, washing, running water, keeping the Sabbath, all those things are very important for preventing illness, keeping us from illness. But again, so today's sermon could be about preventing illness. Actually, a Bible study coming up on Tuesday, we're going to do a series. Bill Watson's going to do a series about preventing illness and biblical things. So if you're interested in that, watch that Bible study Tuesday. But today, I'm not going to talk about preventing illness. And the thing is about health and illness. One thing that got me also thinking about this, I saw the doctor for the president. They had a news conference, and people were there asking them questions about the president's health. And the thing about health is that he didn't really follow a lot of these laws. You know, again, they say, you know, he drank a lot of Diet Coke and ate a lot of fast food. Yeah, okay. But because he has good genes, and a lot of us, you know, some people have good genes, doesn't really get sick, is doing in tremendously great health. And so I say, well, sometimes it's genetic. So that's not what we're going to look at. I'm not going to look at God's health laws today. And I'm not going to give anyone medical advice. Okay. All right. Cause I'm not going to give medical advice. I personally choose for myself science-based medicine. You may choose something else for your health. And that's great. But I believe as a pastor or as an elder in God's church, it would be kind of unethical for me to give anybody medical advice. If anybody ever asked me I can't give you medical advice, because I can tell you what the Bible says about things or things you can do for health, but I can't give you medical advice. I'm not qualified. So if you're looking for that, this is not what this sermon's about either. So the sermon's not about medical advice. So you're wondering, what am I going to talk about? It's not going to be about preventive, not going to be medical advice, not going to be about answered prayer. So what are we going to look at about overcoming illness today? And the thing I can offer you, because I am an elder and I guess we all have this available to us, we're going to talk about what does God's Word tell us about overcoming illness? And I guess the first thing I want to look at is how does the Bible define illness or sickness? Because I think that's interesting. If we're looking at illness and we want to discuss illness and how we overcome it, what does the Bible how does the Bible define it? There's probably different places we could go to look for definitions. But I think in Deuteronomy 7, there's a list of some things that give us an idea of what God, you know, what we can consider as illness. Deuteronomy 7. In verse 12, it says, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and will bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock, in the land in which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples." So he's telling them, if you do everything I said, you'll have a blessing above everybody. Everybody in the world, they're not going to be at the level that you're at. "There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock." If you think about it, it's pretty amazing, as we'll see. That's pretty amazing. "And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you." So this is a tremendous promise to Israel. He says, you're not going to have birth defects, no problems with fertility, even among your animals. Your animals are going to be fertile. He says, no sickness or disease. And what we know about nations in our world is that the closer, like, our nation probably sticks to God's principles, whether they know it or not, the healthier that nation is. And you know, there's some nations where they may, like, they'll, like, defecate in the streets. I'm not kidding. It happens. And those nations, because they don't follow God's laws or sanitary things, there's more illness. People get sick more. It's just because they're not following God's laws. But you follow up closer, you'd be closer to this ideal. But nobody's there in the world. But this gives us an idea of things that are illnesses. That's birth defects, fertility, sickness, and disease. So I got this information from pcrm.org about birth defects in the United States. Because I said, okay, well, what is the birth defects in the United States? How do we, Israel, that he said, hey, you're not going to have any birth defects. But what is it in our country? And they say the definition of a birth defect is the abnormal development of the fetus resulting in death, malformation, growth retardation, and functional disorders. It says approximately 150,000 babies are born each year with birth defects in the United States. That's a lot. Approximately 3% of all children born in the U.S. have a major malformation at birth. And that is a lot, 3%. Many more show problems of developmental origin within time, 6 to 7% by 1 year of age, and 12 to 14% by school age. So if you think about that, in our country, 350 whatever million people, 12 to 14% have some sort of birth defect and it's like God promises, the ideal, you're not going to have any birth defects. But if you talk about illness, we have birth defects to varying degree in our country. So what is the causes? So they listed on this website causes of birth defects. I said, well, yeah. What causes birth defects? Smoking. It says 1/4 of pregnant women smoke causes those things. They say drinking alcohol while pregnant causes birth defects. Teenage pregnancies. So teenagers who have children because of not family, poor decisions, have a higher level of birth defects. And so there's correlation, drug abuse, and also they say lack of prenatal care, not taking care of themselves, eating right or whatnot. So we don't live in a utopia. So 1 in 8 people in the United States, and it's probably different for other countries, some countries are probably better, and some are worse, have some sort of birth defect. So how do we overcome this illness? You're born with something. I guess, I have to wear these. So that means there's a defect, right? Whatever it was, I don't know if it's either my parents did or something somebody did, generation to generation ago. There's a reason why I have to wear glasses, right? Because that is a defect. That is something that happens that a lot of us have that is there. All right, fertility. So fertility in the United States, 12% of the United States is infertile. So that's 1 in 8 people. So God's ideal, no infertility. I don't know what it is about among animals. I don't have research on that. But among people, it's 1 in 8. So how do we overcome this illness? Sickness and terrible diseases. All right, so the latest statistics you can actually get, because they compile them yearly, is for 2015. And the number one thing that people have that's a problem is heart disease. Heart disease, I think we probably know that if you've ever read any articles. And 633,000 people die a year from heart disease. Cancer is second for 595,000. Chronic lower respiratory diseases, that's 155,000. Stroke, 140,000. Alzheimer's, 110. Diabetes, 80,000. Influenza and pneumonia. So that's what we're dealing with. My mom was in the hospital, and they couldn't give her a place in ICU or any kind of room because the hospital was full. The hospital was full. I usually see movies, and you'll see on movies that there's some kind of weird pandemic, and the hospitals are full, and you can't find a place. It's like that a day because of we're having, a severity of a flu right now. And we don't really think about it, but 57,000 people will die from that. You know, hear a story, a young person dies here, or somebody dies here. In our country, that's a lot from that. That's an illness. And then from kidney disease, it's about 50,000 as well. And those are, and there's hundreds of diseases, right? You could list that probably affect everybody. I probably got a few myself that there's something that you have. So how do we overcome illness? So Matthew chapter 8. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 14, says, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever." So Christ comes in, Peter's there, Peter's mom is there, and she has a fever. And again, I guess a fever back then, that's pretty bad, because the mortality rate for fevers in the first century would be a lot higher than it is today. So it's definitely something serious. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. So there was her fever gone. She's like, all right, we'll just fix, I imagine she probably cooked them a meal or something. She served them. She did something to make their stay more pleasant while they were there. After him, that's a pretty quick healing that Christ did. In verse 16, and when evening had come, they brought to Christ, to Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now, a lot of times we'll see in the New Testament, we'll see in Matthew, that sometimes sickness and demon possession are kind of interlinked or whatever. I think maybe it's the way it was understood at the time. We may have a clinical definition of illness, but here, they say, well, there's some demon involved. And again, if we say that diseases are linked to sin, which there's definitely a high evidence of that when Christ returns and everyone's keeping God's laws, there's not going to be disease because of that. There's some kind of link, I guess, that you could probably put with, the demon possession, the sin, disobeying God. Verse 17, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So Christ healed all the ones who had demon possessed or who were ill, and they say, and he says, "This is he's fulfilling this prophecy in Isaiah." In Isaiah, it's Isaiah 53:4. I'm going to quote that. This verse 4. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." So he bears our sicknesses. So this is the first thing. So about overcoming illness, and it's a thing that I want us to remember, and I'm going to make a few points. But the first point is that Jesus has already overcome for us. That's one thing it's hard to think, well, if I'm sick, how can I say Jesus has already overcome for me? He says that. Right here, he himself took our infirmities and has bore our sickness. I would say every one of our, whatever we have, Christ bore it. Christ has overcome it. He and his sacrifice has bore that. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter 2, 23 says, "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes, in some translations, wounds. Now, whose stripes? His wounds. The things that happened when he was beaten, when he was crucified. You were healed." So that's not talking, maybe you're healed, or possibly you're healed. It's saying, the first thing to remember in overcoming illness is that Christ has bore all our sicknesses. Even if you're sick right now, Christ has bore it. He's overcome it for us. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So in overcoming illness, Jesus already did it. It's guaranteed. It's a guaranteed thing that Christ overcame it. All right, so how do we explain? I would tell somebody who's a skeptic, I'd say, "Oh, what are you talking about? It's Christ has overcome illness," you know, because we have people who pass away, who die, who are sick right now. What are you talking about? James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And I believe this more than anything, that if you're sick, you need to do this. Be anointed with oil, because it's what Christ says. "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." Not like he might raise him up. It says he will raise him up. "And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Not might be forgiven. Will be forgiven. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Right? Because we're sinners, but Christ makes us winners. We can not be sinners anymore. He's overcome, and we can be forgiven of whatever, you know, because again, it could be something that caused it. There's a sin. May not be. It could be sin that happened generations ago, why we're ill. And it says, get anointed. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. Now, when, you know, and it's like, when will Christ raise him up? Now, I've been part of anointings, and I guess the elders in here, you've been part of anointings. We've had anointings. And I've anointed people in hospitals that were in the ICU, probably, I would say, near death. And healed. Miraculously healed. Miraculously healed. From the anointing, the belief. And I've seen it with my eyes. I can't, you know, I can say that's what I've seen. We've had the same experiences, elders. But then, I've anointed people, and they weren't healed. And they passed away. I've seen that happen way too many. I mean, that's what we experience. Right? No one lives forever. But he says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So do we believe that? Believe God's word. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. You know, if we put our faith in the healer, you will be when we're resurrected, right? When we're resurrected, and the wording there makes me think of the resurrection. Right, he will raise you up. Now, sometimes we are raised up from our sick bed, And in a way, it's kind of like a foreshadowing of resurrection, isn't it? In many ways, when Christ would heal or he would actually raise the dead, it was foreshadowing the resurrection. Because he is our judge, he is our healer, and he will do that because he has overcome. And when we're resurrected, I won't need these. Well, I need them right now though, but I won't need these. I won't. You know, there won't be any defects or problems at all. Whatever illness, Christ overcame it. So the second thing to remember in overcoming illness is that all our illness is going to be gone at the resurrection. All our illness will be gone at the resurrection. And for many of us, that's closer than you probably think. Closer than you probably think. Cause I'm in my late 40s. And as I get older, I start thinking about these things. And I don't know how far away I am from the day that we're looking to the resurrection, but it's closer. It's closer. So the first point, Jesus is overcomes illness for us. The second point is, at the resurrection, this all, it's healed. We will be healed. And so that anointing is important. Because the most important part, your sins are forgiven and you will have that resurrection and that healing. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 kind of talks about this point a little bit. And this is Paul, and he had a problem here. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations," right? Because Paul had some good revelations. Paul had some good words. God inspired Paul to write some wonderful, wonderful, great things, and he was tremendous for our church in what he did there in the first century and able to, bring God's word. But he says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." There are some commentators who believe that it was his eyesight. I'm like, I do not believe that. Eyesight, that's not that bad. But it was something, definitely something in his flesh that was an ailment that Paul had. And he says, "Concerning the thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." And again, I've been at times severely ill. Three times is not that much. Yeah. Three times is not that much to ask for God to take something away from you. But Paul, he's like, "I pleaded three times for it to be removed." In verse 9, and he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So this leads to the third point. And this is what Jesus has said to us. So I'm not making this up and saying we want to know how to overcome illness. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Really think about that. He says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, and persecutions," is verse 10. "In distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When I am weak, then I am strong. So if you have an illness, a defect, an infirmity, most of us probably do or something, and will at some point, because if God healed everyone who was anointed, well, we could, I don't need to be up here. It would be Peter up here telling y'all the stuff today, right? Or it would be Paul. But they're not here because they have, they're waiting the resurrection as well. He says, "Therefore you shall be perfect." Okay, he says, "For overcoming illness, you said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Matthew 5:48 tells us that, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So he says, where strength is made perfect in weakness, he tells us in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hebrews chapter 2, just a couple of verses kind of link this together. Hebrews 2, verse 9, tells us that, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Through sufferings. Now, we're going to read that, and I think about, you know, what Paul found out after he asked three times. Perfect through sufferings. So the question to consider, if Jesus, our Savior, was made perfect through sufferings, how does he make us perfect? How does he make us perfect? I would say perhaps sufferings may be a way that God perfects the saints. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you're suffering from illness or something else, you can say, hey, you know, you'd be like Paul, well, I'm close to perfection. I can be closer to perfection. Overcoming illness with the grace of God can make you strong. Verse 11 says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. I remember when I had, because my mom's in ICU, I saw a picture my dad sent from the ICU where my mom's at. That's the ICU I was in 15 years ago. And so I saw that, I said, oh, and instantly I recognize, yeah, and the doctors that's going to saw her, I know those doctors because I was, you know, I was in the hospital. And I know that when we do suffer or we go through problems, that is when God is closest. That is when we have more God's grace, when we are suffering. I know it firsthand. I'm not just saying what I know. I think a lot of here people will probably agree with me in those things. So overcoming illness, the first thing was Jesus already did it for us. The second thing is, it's going to be gone for resurrection anyhow. It's going to be gone for resurrection. The third point, straight from Jesus, is my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And one last thing here is in Hebrews 10. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. So that's the fourth thing. The fourth thing in overcoming illness is we exhort each other. Us together, here, together, we, God's church out there watching where we're at, we overcome illness together, and we exhort each other as we see the day approaching. The day approaching, I'm closer to it today than I was yesterday. You know, and I thought I would be young forever, but I was wrong. I don't know why I thought that. But as we see the day approaching, some of us are really close to that day. And we're going to, you know, and I'm going to say encouragement, because that day is not something to fear. It's not something to fear. You know, that day is our death. That we'll be really close to that day, our mortality. And we all get closer to it. And we all need to encourage each other. I'll tell you about two sick days I've had. One was, and this is what got me thinking about this, was 2 weeks ago. On Wednesday, I had, I guess it was the flu or whatever it was, but I was sick. And had to, you know, woke up with the fever and the chills and all the stuff you have and the coughing and coughing up some nasty stuff, you know, and like, oh, I can't believe that's inside me, kind of stuff. But I was sick, but I was able to stay in bed, maybe go get some orange juice, get some stuff. Later in the week, I think Betsy, I got some chicken soup, and appreciate the chicken soup because that definitely helps out as well. But I was sick, and that was a bad day. But I was thinking of another day that was a lot worse from that day. And that was actually a couple years ago. And that was when I was in the Philippines. I was in the Philippines. I may have told y'all this story. If you've been around me enough, you probably heard it. But you may not have heard it out there. But I was in the Philippines, and it was a Friday before I was supposed to speak and give a sermon to the church in the Philippines. A couple hundred people in Manila. Big church. A lot of folks there. And I was in the hotel, and one thing about traveling, you know, across the world to the other side, because I looked on the map, take a globe, just the other side, right, the other side of the earth, is that you're already messed up from sleep and the time difference. But that night, my chest was congested there in the hotel, and I had a sore throat. So this is worse than what I didn't have a sore throat the other day. I had a fever, and I could not sleep. And I sit there thinking about, oh my, I'm sick. Right? I don't know if you've ever done that. Because it was maybe the situation I was in. I was going, oh boy, I'm here halfway across the world. I guess they'll take my insurance card. And I am sick. I am feeling very bad where I couldn't sleep. I did not bring any medicine with me because I was not, I don't know, I just left it all at home, any kind of medicine. And I was feeling bad, bad, bad sick. So I got up that morning. I said, well, I'll go downstairs and see if they got a Tylenol or something for me. And the people at the hotel in the Philippines, they're like, we can't give you a Tylenol. That has to be by prescription. I was like, what kind of country is this? You know, I don't know, but I guess that's what there's different laws in different places. Okay, all right. So I need a prescription for Tylenol. Maybe Advil I can get without a prescription. But for whatever it was, so they had a nurse in the hospital who could not do anything for me, but just tell me, yeah, you're sick. I was like, all right, well, thank you. Couldn't do anything for me. But here's the thing is, I was sick, feeling so terrible. And you probably can relate, right? Everybody can relate. A day you just felt so bad. I was happy the other day I didn't have to go do anything, but I got to get up. I got to get up and speak before folks. I got a message prepared. I can't not do that. Because, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? So I said, all right. I called up the pastor and said, do y'all have some Advil or something for me when I get there? I need something. And I even asked Bill Watson, who was there with me. I said, you want to do the sermon? Because I'll just sit back and just be sick. And he's like, no, you should probably do it. I was like, oh. I was like, all right. So I got to the hotel, made it through, you know, and this is like pushing yourself when you're sick. Pushing yourself. I am sick. I have not had any medicine. Somebody gives me a couple of Advil there. I'm like, oh, a couple of Advil. Maybe that'll help me, you know, because I'm burning up. I have fever. I'm having to set up a camera hooked up to a computer, because I promised everybody we're going to webcast this thing and show it to everybody around the world. So I'm there with folks, you know, and there's people trying to help me set up a computer and stuff. It's like, oh, my head's spinning. I hope this is going to work. I don't know. Very, very sick feeling. And so someone gave me some Advil. But one thing that helped me get through it is what we just talked about is the encouragement of everybody in the church there. I didn't know these folks, but they were family. And so I told them, so I'm not feeling so well, but they were so loving and encouraging about the illness when I was there. And so the more, even though I had a fever and I was sick, the more I would interact with somebody, even though my body was sick, the grace of Christ was there in me saying, keep going, keep going. And again, I was there, you know, I think I took more pictures with people than I've ever taken with people. People here don't want to take pictures with me. I don't know why. That's fine. But people wanted to take their picture with me. Take their picture with me. I mean, it was like Mickey Mouse at Disneyland. And there would they take a picture. Okay, yeah, I'll take a picture with you, whatever. But the more it was, the love that was shown. And so I got up to give the message with a fever. And you can go back and it's a sermon. It's called Proof of the Resurrection. It's on our website, March 5th, 2016. I've not watched it. I probably look sick. I don't know. Go through that. Maybe nobody could tell anything. But I was weak and it felt horrible. But I made it through by the love of everyone there, and the grace of Christ was sufficient to make it through a very sick day that I was having. And when, after it was over, they had a doctor waiting for me in the lobby. I was like, well, that's really nice. So they had a doctor. Doctor gave me some medicine, and I was able to still be sick for the next few days and travel all over the Philippines and do what I needed to do, but to maintain. Again, I'm not saying this because, you know, the bragging or whatever, because we, I think we've all probably had situations like this. I'm just trying to relate this, and that we can have terrible days, but we can overcome it through each other, God's Spirit, His grace. Because His grace is sufficient for us. So, you know, when we're weak, He is strong. 68% of people in our country live with a fear of death. 68%. And actually, I found out that a lot of them are children. And I hate to believe, you know, I hate to hear that. There's a lot of children who are afraid of death. But there's a lot of people in our country afraid of death. There's actually more people afraid of public speaking than death. I'm not afraid of that anymore. Glad that fear's not there. But that's a worse fear. So they'd rather, you know, die than get up and speak. But the thing is, it shouldn't be that. We should be excited as we approach our death. As that's a weird way to look at it. Closer, because we're closer, when we get there, we're closer to the return of Christ. We're closer to the return of Christ when it happens. And so it shouldn't be something we fear or dread. It's something we should be excited about. Excited. Not excited about where you're going to go take your life. That's stupid. But I'm saying excited about that. Hey, maybe 20 years, 30 years, whenever I end it, whenever God, you know, says, this is it for you. Oh, it's not it. That's the beginning. That is the true healing that will come. John 11, verse 25, 26 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Right, this is after he just resurrected someone. So he was proving it for him. So this is after he resurrects Lazarus. He says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked her, you know, you saw this happen, do you believe this? And I got to ask us, do we believe this? Do we really believe this? Because if we do, and we should, because Jesus not only has the victory for us, we have victory over illness, we have victory over death. That's the ultimate illness. He and His sacrifice bore our illness for and our sorrows, and it will be gone. All right, so Jesus overcame for us. We will be cured completely at the resurrection. His grace is sufficient for us. And we do this together. Do this together. We exhort each other together. So yes, can you overcome illness? Absolutely. You know, God, He shows us the way in His Word. It can be overcome.